getting there. It is Thanksgiving week, as you all know. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday of the year. It's not even close. Like, it's number one. I love the food. My favorite food, everybody knows, right? What's my favorite food? Thank you. Cheesy potatoes. I want to thank whoever brought those on Sunday. I don't know who that was, but I appreciate you. And I had seconds, so it was very good. But I love the food. I love stuffing. I'm really a sides guy. The turkey's okay. The ham's okay. But mashed potatoes and gravy, macaroni and cheese, cheesy potatoes, green bean casserole, sweet potato casserole. Man, love it. Love it. I love the food. I love getting to see friends and family. What's that? I love it all. It's hard. I don't like cranberry sauce. Not a fan. But I like when it's there because if other people eat it, that keeps them away from the stuff I like. So I love pumpkin pie. Man, I love pumpkin pie. And Cool Whip. But I love seeing family and friends. Big Dallas Cowboys fan, so Thanksgiving's a good day for me usually, sometimes. Get to watch them. But it's just a good day. You know, we ought to be thankful every day, but it is good to have a time of year where we're intentionally thankful. Because if we're not careful, like if we're not intentional about things, they usually fall by the wayside. And thankfulness is one of those things as well. And if we're not careful, we can go long periods of time without really having thankful hearts. And so I think it's good to recalibrate and remember how much we have to be thankful for. So in that spirit, somebody tell me something that you're thankful for tonight. For your family?
Yeah. Thankful for my salvation.
For your salvation. Amen. Anybody else?
Thankful to be able to hear tonight, hear God's word.
Yeah. Amen.
Let me know afterwards. You guys don't even know, during prayer meeting, I shared, when we started tonight, I read from Psalm 107. I was this close to preaching that entire psalm tonight. That's 47 verses. So you have something to be thankful for that you don't even know about. Instead, we're going to be in Luke 18. You know, we could all go around the room. Every one of us could think things that we're thankful for. And the Bible tells us that every good gift comes from God. And I think this is important for us to think about tonight. And really every day. But God isn't good because we have good family or good friends or a good church. We have those things because God is good.
Amen.
Because even if we lose those things, if your entire family dies and this church goes away and you lose your house, you lose your car, you lose your health, you lose all those things that you're thankful for right now, that doesn't mean God's not good anymore.
Amen.
Job lost everything and he still understood that God was good. And so I think that's good for us to remember. Because all the blessings that we count today, they might not be here tomorrow, but spiritual blessings are never gone.
Amen.
The contentment, the joy, the peace, the love that we have, those are in us forever. So we have so much to be thankful for tonight.
Amen.
Now, Luke 18, Jesus gives us a parable. Really, he told a parable that involved two men. And one of those men we're going to read about, this is a parable that most of you are very familiar with. But one of these men gave a prayer of thanksgiving, but it wasn't good thanksgiving. It wasn't a good prayer of thankfulness. Did you know that you could be thankful for the wrong things?
Amen.
You could be thankful with the wrong attitude.
Amen.
And you could be thankful to the wrong person.
Right.
You could credit all the good things in your life to someone other than God.
Amen.
And do you think people ever do that?
Yes.
Like, look where I got. Look what I've done. People do that, and we do that when we're not careful. And I would say that when we aren't intentionally thankful, that's what we're doing. When we don't credit all the good things in our life to God, we are at least inadvertently saying, look what I have done.
Amen.
And so we ought to be thankful tonight. But Luke chapter 18, direct your attention to verse number 9. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. Let's have a word of prayer together tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And God, your goodness is overwhelming. I thank you that we have this time of year where we are reminded that we ought to be thankful to you. Lord, I pray that you would help each of us tonight to, like the second man in this parable, have an understanding of who we are so that we have a better appreciation for who you are. Lord, I thank you for my salvation, for the grace that you've shown me. And I know this room is full of people who are so grateful for that grace that you've shown them. And I pray if there's one here tonight who doesn't yet know Christ, that they would turn from their sins and trust Jesus tonight, Lord, and experience and taste of the grace that you freely offer. We thank you so much for all the blessings that we have. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first man in this parable, consider the Pharisee. Once again, in Luke chapter 18, in verse number 10, the Bible says that two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. And Jesus does this often, where he makes a contrast between two different things to help us learn a truth. And so the first man that we examine is this Pharisee. And consider first his position. The Bible tells us that the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. Now, save your spot here in Luke chapter 18. And if you want to, flip over to Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5. Harmonizing these Gospels together, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, Jesus elsewhere described what this looked like sometimes. Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus was teaching them how to pray, one of the things he said was, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Jesus, Matthew records there, Jesus is teaching that the hypocrites or the Pharisees would often stand in a place of prominence and attention and then pray out loud so that people could hear their prayers and people could then be impressed with how eloquent they were. Or people could be impressed with how humble they were, right? The Pharisees loved the attention of men. That's what they lived for. And Jesus even said they have their reward. Their great reward is the adoration they get from men. And that's not going to last. But back in our text in Luke chapter 18, when Jesus tells this parable, he describes this Pharisee, once again, who stood and prayed thus with himself. I think that's a perfect picture of what this man in the parable is doing. He's standing over, away from people, by himself. And just try to get the picture in your head. He's standing away from people, speaking out loud, praying so that people can hear all the things that he says. Say, well, that might not be too bad. Well, based on what he's saying, it's a terrible thing. It's a good thing to speak up sometimes. But what he's saying here was not good. Notice his position. He was standing to be seen and to be heard of men. And we have a glimpse into his prayer here. Standing by himself, he says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Do you think he wanted that to be heard? Interesting, one commentator wrote this, though, that extortioners, unjust, adulterers, yet all of these characteristics belong to the men of this sect. The Pharisees were oppressors of the poor. They devoured widows' houses and extorted money from them. Under a pretense of long prayers, they are aptly represented by the unjust steward in Luke 16:1, and they were unclean, unchaste, and an adulterous generation of men. This man was guilty of all the things that he claims that he wasn't guilty of. It's much like the rich young ruler when he came to Jesus and he asked how to have eternal life. What did Jesus tell him? He told him to keep the law. And he said, well, I've done that from the time I was a youth. From the time I was a kid. Well, he might have genuinely believed that, but was that true? Of course it wasn't. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. There is none righteous, no, not one. Amen. And so this Pharisee, though, as he's praying out loud, he runs through this list and he says, I'm so thankful, God, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. And we already know that's not true. Amen. That he was all of those things. But notice in his prayer how haughty his prayer was. That's a great Old Testament word. When you look it up in the dictionary, the English definition is literally arrogant or superior to others. That's exactly what he was in this situation. He viewed himself as superior to others, especially this publican who he just named. But notice in his prayer, how many times did he say the name of God? Somebody count. One time? How many times did he say the word I in that prayer? Verse number 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Who is he praising? Now, he addresses God in his prayer, but he is not praising the Lord for his goodness. He's praising himself for his goodness. He's not saying, Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for how good you are. He's saying, look at how good I am. I don't commit these atrocious sins, and I'm certainly better than the publican who had the audacity to even walk in here with me. He said, I'm thankful that I'm not like other men, especially this publican. This man was full of praise, but he rejoiced not for who God was, but rather he rejoiced for who he thought he was. Amen. And he builds himself up. Now remember, back in verse number 9, the first verse of our text, consider the audience that Jesus is telling this parable to. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Man, have you ever felt like a sermon like really stepped on your toes? You know that feeling? I've been there. Where like you almost want to ask like the preacher if he knows something that you thought nobody knew. We've all been there, right? And that's the spirit. I guess the pastor might know something, but that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But imagine this. Jesus is talking to Pharisees who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. And he tells them about a parable about a Pharisee who praises himself and despises others. I sometimes just appreciate when people get right to the point. And that's exactly what Jesus does here with these Pharisees. Let me ask you a question tonight. As we think about this Pharisee and how haughty this prayer was and how lifted up with pride he was and how he looked down on others, do you know any religious people who, under the name of Christianity, have this type of attitude where they are superior or they have arrived and they're thankful that they're not like other people? Amen. Aren't you thankful you're not like those Pharisees?
Right.
Oh. Amen. Because this gets me. This is like a movie that I know the ending of. And even still, when I read this, I do it every time. I'm being transparent. When I read this story, my initial thought is always, I am not that Pharisee. And I'm so glad that I'm not like that Pharisee. Friends, we all have this attitude sometimes. And it's easy for us. Listen, we could all identify people like that, but as soon as we do that, we are the people. There's a Pharisee and there's a publican. And notice this, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but when the publican prays and he's justified before God, it's not that the publican prays and says, thank you, God, that I'm not like that Pharisee. Listen, we ought to be careful. Because anytime we have this attitude, and we might not say it, because you know it sounds wrong to say, I'm thankful I'm not like that person. That sounds really bad. We get that. But that attitude easily creeps into us. I'm glad I'm not a part of that group. I'm glad our church isn't like their church. I'm glad I'm not like that person. I'm glad I don't look like that person, act like that person, think like that person, talk like that person. And that's not to justify everything that anybody ever does, but our attitude ought not to ever be in a place of superiority where we look down on anybody and think we're better than them. Because the truth is, this Pharisee was not better than the publican. But you know what? The publican wasn't better than the Pharisee. That was the, time and time again, Jesus gives these illustrations and he makes these contrasts. Like, we call it the parable of the prodigal son. That's really a terrible name. It's the parable of the two sons. There are two sons. There was a younger son and an older son. You know which one of them was wrong? They were both wrong.
Amen.
That was the whole point. That the Pharisees needed to repent and the sinners needed to repent. Everybody needed to repent. And the Pharisees aren't made better by not acting like publicans, and publicans aren't made better by not acting like Pharisees. And I just think that we ought to be careful. And I think we ought to recognize that in our own hearts when that builds up, when we have any sort of superiority complex over anybody else. And so we see this Pharisee. He was thankful to himself and for his own supposed obedience. But notice the second man in this parable, the publican. Let's just start again in verse number 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And so we saw the position of this Pharisee was to stand isolated by himself in order to receive the praise of men. And then he makes this prayer of really self-righteousness and self-seeking attention. And then you come to this publican and you see his position. It says that he's afar off, but this isn't to get attention. This is a man of humility. See, the Pharisee, he thought that he was better than everyone else. But the publican thought that he was worse than everyone else. You know, when we read parables and we read stories, I think we have a tendency to read ourselves as the heroes. We all have to understand tonight that, like Paul said, I am the chiefest of sinners.
Amen.
Each one of us. Listen, I'm not going to pay for your sins, and I'm not going to pay for mine either because I've been saved. But it's my own sin that I have to answer for.
Amen.
Therefore, I am the worst sinner. See, this publican had great humility, and you see that in his position. He wouldn't even look up. I mean, you can see this, right? And you can get the mental image where he's just looking down at the ground. And I love this. Spurgeon preached this text one time, and one of the things he talked about was this man smoting his breast, beating his chest. And he made a great point of, that's strange. We don't do that. Like, have you ever been in a public setting and somebody's praying, just hitting their chest? You'd think, I better go get him a glass of water or something. Like, that's weird. We don't do that. But Spurgeon talked about this action and how it was almost like this man was so, he was in such a place of brokenness and humility over his sin that he could do nothing other than beat the source of all of his problems, which was his own heart. And I think that's good. Because as he considered his sin, and that's, he acknowledges that he is a sinner, as he acknowledges his position before God, that's all he can do is blame his heart. His prayer. It's short, but it's good, isn't it? Whereas these Pharisees would stand before men and they'd pray these long, extravagant prayers so people would be impressed. This man says a few words, but he says more in a few words than the Pharisee does. Notice his words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all that's recorded. Now, here's something that's really interesting that I found when I was studying for this. The phrase, be merciful. You guys want to hear me try to pronounce a Greek word? Hiloskomi. That's good, right? Brother Bill Conley's not here to correct me, so I got a B in his Greek class. So I'm not bitter about it, but it should have been an A. Actually, it probably shouldn't have been a B, but it's hiloskomi. Now, what's interesting about that word, save your place here in Luke 18. That word is only used one other time in the entire scriptures. And it's not translated the same as be merciful. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17. The only other time you'll find hilaskimi in the Bible. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Now, you might think that the word merciful there is where it's found. It's not. Notice the rest of this verse. To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. The word holoskemi is the word reconciliation there. And the word literally means propitiation or to make reconciliation. So here's why this is so good. Go back to Luke chapter 18. When he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, that word, what he's saying is, I need to be atoned for. He is coming to God, asking for mercy, not just flippantly, but because of the propitiation that was going to be given. And do you know how anybody ever finds mercy from God? It's through Jesus. Amen. That's it. That's the only way anybody can ever receive mercy from God is through his son, Jesus Christ. And so he goes to God and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. His prayer is of great humility. And this is good too. He didn't say, God, be merciful to me, I'm not a Pharisee. God, be merciful to me, I'm a repentant sinner. He didn't say, God, be merciful to me because I'm a praying sinner. He didn't go to God on the basis of anything that he was doing. It was, you are good, and I'm a sinner. Amen. And it's not my own prayers that I'm trusting in. It's not my own righteousness. It's not my own humility. It's not any of those things. You are good, and I'm a sinner. Amen. That's it. Listen, when you were born again, and I want to make sure you guys understand what I'm saying here. It wasn't your prayer that saved you. It was God who saved you. You put your faith and trust in Jesus, and he saved you. It was not a magical prayer. It wasn't a repeat after me. It wasn't a certain word that you said. There's a famous preacher, and his name's escaping me right now, but his testimony when he was saved, he said two words. He said, I thirst. Amen. And he was gloriously born again. God saved him. Amen. This man, this publican, wouldn't even look up to heaven, beating on his chest, begs for God's mercy. And this next verse is so good. Because, and I think this is hard for me, because growing up in church, like when I hear the word Pharisee, I automatically think that's a bad guy. You know, like that was taught to me at a young age. Like the Pharisees are always the bad guys. And when you're young, like there's always good guys and bad guys. Like that's it. And so whenever I read a parable or hear a sermon, like it's I think it's easy for us. Well, we know the Pharisee is right and we know the Pharisee is wrong and the publican is right. Like we know that. But to all the other people who are around, put yourself in their shoes. The Pharisees were the respected religious people. Amen. Like they weren't as despised. Like we kind of despise the Pharisees. We look down on them. But the people in that day, like they revered them. They looked up to them as leaders. And they hated publicans. It wasn't just the Pharisees who hated publicans. If you weren't a publican, you hated publicans. And so all the other people who are there, they see this Pharisee and they see this publican, and there's almost like, well, who's right? I just love what Jesus tells us in this parable. I tell you, and he tells that crowd, and you can imagine the Pharisees that he's talking to. Remember in verse number 9? He's talking to Pharisees who thought that they were righteous and they looked down on others. And Jesus looks at him and he says, I tell you, this publican went down to his house justified rather than the other. That was an audacious thing to say. Jesus looks at these Pharisees who thought they were righteous, looked down on others, and he tells them a parable about a Pharisee who prays before God, has kept the law, and a publican, an awful, low-down sinner who asks for mercy, and Jesus says only one of them receives mercy from God. And it wasn't you, is what he tells them. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And that flips everything around to what we just think. But you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you have to be the least here. That's how it works. And so thinking about Thanksgiving, you know, this Pharisee got up and he made this prayer of thanks, but he was really thankful to himself. He was thankful for himself. Now this publican, he doesn't say the word thanks in his prayer, but he goes home justified on the basis of the reconciliation that he can have with God through Jesus. Now earlier in this book, Luke wrote about another parable, Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7 in verse 41, Luke records a parable that Jesus told. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which one of them will love him most? And so in American terms, somebody owed 100 bucks, somebody owed a dollar. And the person forgave them both. Well, which person is going to love him the most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. I believe this tonight, that our thankfulness to the Lord is directly proportional to how much we understand what we've been forgiven. This publican went home justified. He was on his face before God, beating on his chest, wouldn't even look up, pleading for mercy, and he received mercy. See, he understood. Unlike the Pharisee, this publican knew who he was. He knew who he was. He was a sinner. And that's all of us tonight. The Pharisee was also a sinner. He just didn't know it. But we are all sinners before God. And if you are born again tonight, you understand that God has, in that parable of the two creditors, God has forgiven you a debt that you could not pay. Impossible. You couldn't pay it. Nobody could pay it for you. You were condemned. And so the challenge, I think, when we read these two parables, especially Luke 18, is number one, to understand that we are only receiving mercy through Jesus. It's through the reconciliation that Jesus offers. But if we want to be more thankful, we have got to always remember who we are. Amen. Listen, the moment pride creeps in and we start looking at anybody else and thinking that we are better, we are forgetting who we are. We're forgetting. Listen, I can't be the chiefest of sinners if I think you're the worst sinner. It doesn't work that way. And so especially this week, I think it's good to remember that. I'm going to ask you guys to stand with me. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and we'll sing a song. Have a time of response here. But if nothing else tonight, guys, I think it's great. It's never a bad time to thank the Lord for what he's done for you. And Brother Terry said it when we were talking about what we're thankful for. He's thankful for his salvation. This man went home. He was justified. I'm just going to believe that he was thankful. I don't know anybody who's ever been saved who wasn't thankful. And we got to be thankful to the Lord tonight for that. If you don't know Christ, there's no magic word. It's just like this man. He asked for mercy from God, and he can get it because of what Jesus did for him. And you can have mercy from God because of what Jesus did for you as well. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll sing. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Christ, for the forgiveness of our sins that was paid for. Lord, I pray that if there's one here tonight who still stands condemned in their sin, that they would repent and trust Jesus. Lord, and I pray that each of us would be able to have a proper view of who we each are. Lord, help me to not ever be in a place of superiority. Lord, please help me to remain humble, and Lord, that I would love you more as a response to that. Lord, when you remind me of the sin that I've been forgiven of, Lord, help it move me to love you more and to be more grateful and to want to praise you more in response to that great debt that you've forgiven me. And I pray tonight that you would help each of us to have that response. Lord, that we would be thankful for your goodness and your grace in our lives. Pray that your will would be done during this time of response. Lord, lead each of us in the next step that we need to take. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 551.